Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with the Hot Tub King of Detroit, Jared, and the best father in the whole wide world, James.
Good enunciation on that, Kevin.
Yeah, wow. I felt like any tiny little babies in the very back of the room could have heard you say that.
That's what we do on That's a Chunky. We project to the back, particularly when our fathers are using the public restroom. This little twist with like Spartacus in there too, where everyone took credit for the poop.
Yeah.
This is a nice touch. Before we get into our fifth episode of Detroiters, James is going to check in with us. James sadly was missed for episode 4. So he has some response to our historical inaccuracies of episode 4.
It's a rebuttal.
I didn't really have much to add. I feel like you guys did a great job covering it. I thought Jessica was a really great guest and had
big time.
She fit in perfectly and had great insight to the show. I forget the specific moments, but there were definitely things where I had made notes in my prep about the show, that episode, and like one or all of you guys ended up hitting on exactly what I had like noted. So I was very pleased. A couple things that I think you guys were mentioning. Well, you were talking about like my ITYSL_memes Twitter account. And like how I catch so many, I think you should leave things. And Jessica didn't take credit for this, but I have to give her credit because she's one of the people who is really good about catching things and sort of like tagging them or sending them to me so that I can find them there.
Nice.
So just wanted to like give her a little bit of credit. She's like not only a Detroiter super fan, but a big time, I think you should leave fan and great community member who,
you have like a network of whisperers. Like
exactly. Like, yeah.
The kids are just like, yeah, like setting memes up the drain pipe.
Like too. Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah. She's one of my critical sources, insider sources. So that was one thing, and then I guess yeah. That was the main thing I wanted to mention about the episode, and then on the Twitter subject, a couple of things that I wanted to mention was one was the tournament of I think you should leave quotes that yes. I did for March Madness that ended, and the championship quote, I think a lot of people suggested that it's because it's become a meme on TikTok or like a like video and audio track that has been used. And I think that kind of like it got hot at the right time and ended up carrying it to victory was I didn't do fucking shit. I didn't rig shit. And that was the ultimate champion quote. So that was a little bit surprising. There were some other like pretty big time ones that it actually took out along the way. So but the rest of the final four was let's see, Billy as in me or Billy as in him. I don't even want to be around anymore. And not trying to get a laugh. Don't want anybody to have the worst day at their job.
That's a good one.
So anyway, that was a great success tournament. And then one other thing Twitter related is, I don't know if we had texted a little bit about these, but the video clips and like GIFs of Tim as like a space captain, which I like also thanks to Jessica re-remembered recently. And it's like, it's really fascinating. And I still don't feel like I have the full story, but basically it seems like Giphy or Jiffy. I don't know how do you pronounce that?
Oh like, man, let's not go there. Like,
but, it seems like they just paid Tim to like make a sketch and then chopped it up without even having the full sketch and made a bunch of reaction GIFs out of it. of him being like a space. I can't even tell if he's supposed to be someone on a spaceship or if he's like playing an actor playing someone in them or what, but it seems like it could be really funny. And I have like a vague hope that it's going to turn out to be a sketch from either season 3 or like his new HBO show Computer School that's like in production or whatever now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's one other I think you should leave like Twitter tidbit that I wanted to mention.
We welcome any listener to piece together the gifts in an order that makes sense. That would be a nice task for someone to devote hours to.
I would also love that.
On the website now, and they are very spread out. So it's like, I mean, there's some repeat ones there, but
It seems like they have like a bunch of like gifts with the background taken out, so it's just like him doing things, and then they have all the gifts of him like doing them with like captions and like sort of borders, and then they have a bunch of videos of them also where it's like has audio too of like some of the same things. It's very strange and interesting. I would love to get a like full explanation of it.
There's some stuff there for people to work with. I mean, you could piece together the ones where he's laying on the alien's lap so that it makes sense. Yeah. If people don't know what we're talking about, it sounds weird. But
and like, I don't even know what to link to. Just go to James' Twitter page.
It's an app that I think I have on my phone, mostly to try to find. I think you should leave gifts. But yeah. And then post them like 10 seconds slower than James, but
10 seconds.
Yeah, or like 2 hours slower.
Ten years
slower.
If anybody is curious, you can just like Google Giphy or Jiffy Tim Robinson, and I think it would go to his. It's like all on his account, Tim Robinson. It's like probably Jiffy.com/Tim Robinson or whatever.
All right. I'm gonna jump into Happy Birthday, Mr. Duvet.
Let's do it.
So
let's hustle.
Let's hustle. By the way, if you're trying to figure out exactly what the hustle is, good fucking luck, because it was like these parallel movements designed around mostly disco music, but also some other genres that took place like in New York City, but also in certain Latino communities. That's about all I've got, and it took me about 45 hours of reading. Maybe we can have someone on in the future to like better describe
the hustle.
Hustle expert.
But damn, if it's not a great sort of linking activity in this episode, just really fun. Also, the concept of like, if you go to these, have you ever been lucky to sort of be in one of these communities that parties all across ages? A lot of times it features some sort of like line dance that's easy for everyone to do. And I think that's a great moment in the sketch. I mean, maybe my favorite moment in the whole episode, I'm going a little bit out of order, is when Sam is told that he can't talk and hustle at the same time. And he says, okay, grandma. It's literally his grandmother telling him while dancing that he can't. And that's just a fun thing. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about this episode is a departure from sort of the formula of the first four episodes. So namely, we don't have any advertising in this episode.
No more crim.
Crim. I would say the early episodes also are kind of like a little bit like maybe rambunctious. They feature like youthly hijinks. Whereas this one is like a very wholesome family episode. That all takes place at this sort of hall, and it's got a magic to it. It's very different from the other episodes, but it's really a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. How it's basically like a bottle episode, you know, like the everything takes place in one location. It's kind of like out of continuity from the rest of the show, which is interesting that they like did that in this show.
Absolutely. We do. What's funny too is like I felt like the opening scene was almost meant to like transition us between worlds. where you have Tim saying, "You look beautiful," and Chrissy's like, "Who are you talking to?" And he's like, "My beautiful wife," and she moves away off screen, and he's like, "Not my beautiful best friend."
I love that she had to ask that question as his wife. Like, she knew that he could be talking about Sam.
It's so good. My wife knows this. Like, I love this sort of joke that I call the switcheroo, which is just like, you know, you say something and then you're like, and also, and like you're flipping. I mean, if only I could think of a good example right now. But this is a great, great element to that opening scene. Then they set up the conflict like right away, which is like Sam always kills these speeches. He has for a year written all these mustache jokes, which is exactly how I've started to like approach my life. Like, I know if I have to do something in a year, I'm gonna like immediately, because I just don't have time to like mentally prepare things. So I'm just like gonna write notes as it goes. And then his dad has shaved his mustache.
Well, I love before that, like where he's telling Chrissy what he's doing, and he was like, "I'm gonna do jokes about my dad's mustache," and she's like, "Damn, that's good." Meanwhile, like at that point, Mr. Duvet, all you see is his face, and the mustache is by far the most prominent feature. Yeah, of the dude.
Totally.
But like, no one had even thought about a mustache riff, and presumably they've been doing these every year, and Sam has not done a riff on his mustache to that point. It's like most of these episodes, I don't know if you guys find this, like they kind of build later. Like I've noticed for my big notes, time. Like, I mean, like it's not that the beginning isn't like good. It really is. It has a lot of like heart and story building and stuff. But then like, it really leads to like climaxes at the end. With Mr. Bones falling into the table of pies. Which my favorite moment, not to step over the format, is Tim getting punched in the stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And him just being like, ooh! Like,
I also thought
at selling like comedic bits like that. It's like kind of like Chris Farley level and just like sort of a sight gag, but he's just so fucking good at that. And then it's just a great scene because he's just like moaning through the whole thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Like, I
your face, pie lady.
Your face, pie lady.
I also like point out it's very like intentional that he was punched in the stomach.
Yeah. Not the face. Exactly.
Like they want to like preserve the fabric of the family. Tim's clearly like accepted there.
Yeah.
Especially when he comes in and the mom says, "Tim, look at you. Give me a twirl."
Oh yeah. I love it. I love how there's several little like moments like that where it's like you really see how fully accepted into the family Tim is, and it's really really sweet and great.
Jared,
it's like in the season 2 episode where the family reunion or whatever, where he's kind of talking shit about Sam's new girlfriend to like the other, like to the mom, and like, and they're all like, "Oh, Tim, you're like," I just love that. It was, like, it's great. It's such a great warm feeling.
Jared, where's your joy buzzer?
I'm not working right now.
The whole setup of that, it brings like a really interesting conflict in. His name's Julian. He's at his friend's birthday party. Please respect his privacy. But also, he's saying like, "I was at an event before and I have to go to an event after this."
Yeah.
But also, I think I'm team Tim on this one. Like, you just can't show up to this event.
Yeah.
Clown makeup. And...
Yeah. And not expect to be asked to do jokes or whatever.
Yeah. Like, if you had a basketball game and then went to a party in a basketball game and you like showed up in your basketball stuff and someone was like, "Hey, you want to take a couple shots with me?" You have to be like, "Yeah, of course." Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but to just deny
it was a little cartoonish about it, but it was a completely fair position to take on the clown. Yeah. And no one else seemed to care. They just all took it in stride that he was just a working clown.
Right.
That that had pretty limited makeup for a clown, but it was, it was an acceptable amount.
I like the makeup.
All right. Yeah. I'm not saying he needed more. Dignified. I'm just saying.
It was more of the sort of classical, like, trampish clown than the sort of, like, like Ronald McDonald clown.
Jared doesn't know squat about clown history. I mean, it's really embarrassing.
I don't. I know very little clown.
I like 50% max. His complaint was asking me to perform here is like asking a mailman to go to for a walk on his day off.
Yeah. What kind of car do you drive? 2013 Malibu.
Yeah.
And Tim's response is, "You know, I'm not going to get
every joke." Tim had a reaction to one of those was, "Wait, was that the joke?"
That the joke,
which yeah. is a direct line yeah. from "I Think You Should Leave," which was a interesting little tie-in. Which is also funny because, like, very different context, but almost exactly the same delivery of that line, like
that's
intonation.
True. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
And that happens a lot in the Tim universe. Like, yeah. we are Tim's biggest fans, but if anyone ever wanted to like debate us, that's probably what they would come with. Like, even some of the sketches we're going to talk about later tonight, there's a couple repeated lines. I don't care if it's gold, you know, you gotta,
yeah,
you know. We sort of have like a C-level plot in this episode of like Mr. Duvet's critique of all the speeches. So when I think it's the probably supposed to be either his niece or daughter-in-law or whatever, when she talks about her pregnancy, he's like, "Microphone placement is important. You can hear you even through your tears."
yeah, which is also a very awkward phrasing of that statement too. You Big can time. Hear you even through your tears.
Tim must have written that one.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on it the first time I watched it through, but the second time it was very obvious that Mr. Duvet's. So he like everybody's nervous because he has like such high expectations for the speeches. But it becomes clear that his expectations have nothing to do with the content of them and everything to do with, like, how clearly you can hear them. And, like, even later on, we can talk about it later, but there's, like, moments where he's, like, clearly, like, not paying any attention to, the like, how sentimental or, like, heartfelt anything is. And I thought that was, like, extremely funny, like, to... that everyone's so nervous about it, and also a funny contrast with Sam, who's like, everyone is like, "Oh, you do such a great job at the speeches," and he's like, "You know I do," and like really confident and stuff.
Take it easy on us. You know I won't.
Yeah, exactly. And that made me wonder, like, is Sam always great at the speeches because of him? He's like very funny and like the content, or is he just like a very clear speaker? And so his dad is always very happy.
It's a good question.
I'm gonna say both.
Yeah, probably both.
Sam, I mean, guy's a total package.
Yeah,
that's true. Other attendees are big fans of him. So I mean, I'm assuming he delivers with his dad as well, but it seems like he just rules the room, as you would expect him to, given his many talents. Yeah, his dad, I thought he's kind of a narcissist in the way he's like picking apart these people that are there for him. But he's also like...
he's like a positive narcissist.
Yeah, I mean, like, he keeps doing the hustle and there's like pure joy on his face when he does that. Yeah, he's an interesting character. I've considered him for MVP. I've yet to decide on my favorite.
I'm already decided.
All right, well, you can save your vote till later. Also... we haven't talked about Molly yet.
I was going to say.
Oh, man.
Who I think is really good. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, by the way, the actress who plays her is this, like, renowned writer for all these comedy shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So she's, like, really famous. But I just love they introduce her by talking about, like, arresting a guy who hadn't done anything. And she's, like, and it ends with her telling the story of, like, he pissed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did this to you? You know I can have anyone thrown in jail whenever I feel like it. I don't even need a reason. There's this one guy, innocent as a newborn baby. I cuffed and stuffed him in the back of my car just to see what would happen, and I was not disappointed.
All right, I gotta riff off this. So then Sam's mom comes over and says, "Sam, oh wait, or is this Tim saying this? This is Tim saying this. Sam, you're fiddling with your balls. What's wrong?"
Well, she had said that earlier to him, which is also funny.
And then Tim says to her, "Oink, oink, I thought I smelled bacon. Where's your box of donuts?" Well, there's some other stuff in between.
Yeah.
And then she says, "Careful."
On him.
Yeah, which is, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Every scene she was in basically is like, she's a stereotype of a terrible cop.
Yeah, terrible cop.
Yeah. And yeah. Even like, when she's giving her speech, it starts out with her ignoring an officer, like,
Officer Down, I think.
Yeah. It's like,
the actress is like,
all units, I've been hit, I need backup. She turns
down the volume of it. So her name is Amber Ruffin, by the way. Her variety show, the Amber Ruffin Show, is nominated for a primetime Emmy, and she's also been nominated 4 times as a writer on Seth Meyers' show.
She does that like translation thing he does, or like when there's things that Seth can't say. I think she's one of the two women.
I don't watch the show as much as I like him. She's very funny.
She's great.
Another funny person on the show is the child who sings and just acts like a total asshole, including saying, "That bitch waitress won't give me a beer," I believe. Tim says, "That's because you're 7. And he says, "Okay, sunburn, we're done here."
Okay, sunburn is a great fucking word. It's
great. Yeah.
That's like the only white dude at an event like that. And just
really
like,
good.
I got to use that on somebody. Probably you, Kevin, this summer.
Fuck, don't do it. I'll never come back from that.
And then claims that he got a huge hog, which led to him to say, he asked Santa for a huge hog, and he gave it
this huge hog?
That's so good. I like that it was right after Tim told him Santa wasn't real, but then the kid says he gave him the huge hog, and then Tim immediately is like, accepts that Santa gave him the huge hug.
Yeah, exactly.
How many great Santa jokes are we getting out of Tim in his career?
Man, fantastic.
Santa brought it early, Crashmore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tim does Sam's routine.
Yep. Yeah, right after Chrissy does her great enunciation of "to the best father in the whole wide world." And Mr. Duvet is like extremely pleased by that. You can see up at the edge of the stage too.
Can we talk about his intro, which is, remember Mr. Duvet had a mustache? And then David, who's also a low-key MVP.
Yeah, he's funny.
This,
yeah. He has a degree in economics.
Yes, of course we remember. And then a woman yells, "It's fresh in our minds." And then another one says, "I can hear a couple minutes on that." And Sam is just like this.
then... At the end, it culminates in Tim saying that he's got the second greatest mustache to Aunt Lacey. And we get like a long pause. And I think the actress, I actually looked it up, the actress who plays her is Deborah Chanel Green. I think she's amazing in her 15-second performance. Yeah, and then just like when she lets it slide and laughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny.
And everyone loves Tim's speech, and including Chrissy ending it by saying, "That's my husband. That's my husband."
This is a good episode, man. I do like that it's different. I mean, I love their advertising bits, but this is a good, like, wholesome family episode that kind of breaks it up.
Yeah.
And really, the family reunion in season 2 does kind of a similar thing.
You get to sort of see their like relationship. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of silly to talk about character development in particular show, but it really is like a little bit of that, where you get to see them outside of, because so much of the advertising stuff is them being like incompetent and like kind of bumbling, and this is more of them being like in their element, and like kind of everyone sees them as great and like accepts them and everything, which is fun.
Yeah, that's a great point. A couple other highlights I just have written down are after David's performance, where he's just flipping a hat onto his head. Mr. Dubé just says, David, you have a degree in economics.
Yes, that was great.
And then David's like, yeah, and he like points to him, and then he goes back and is like, views it as this like really successful performance.
Yeah. Although to give some perspective, I, who am currently recording this podcast, has a degree in economics, so I don't know which is more shameful.
Oh, you're doing great, though, Kevin. Don't worry. Oh, thank
you. Yeah, you could flip that hat onto your head in one try.
Oh man, one or two probably.
He also, David, I really like. I'm not going to make David an MVP, but in the very beginning, he makes a joke about how old Mr. Dubé is and says he's got to start eating soft food. So his teeth don't go bad or his teeth don't break. And then Sam is like, that's not how teeth work, David. Yeah.
That was a great little line, too.
I really like after Tim's speech where he does all Sam stuff, just his like celebration and like maniacal laughter and dancing. Just to like rub it in on Sam. Really funny. The kid hits on Chrissy, including the line, you got the body for it. Just so creepy.
Yeah.
Sam's mom says, you're the cutest little ladybug there ever was. She also says, somebody ought to ask her to marry him. Sam, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Very deep line. No spit take. What kind of clown are you? And Mr. Bones says, the only clown in this room is you. To Tim. Yeah. Love that.
Which is like Tim's face. It says a thousand words in that reaction.
And also, Sam, I can get hands clapping and panties dropping. Tim says, this is a family event.
That was great too.
Are we ready to talk about this, the final scene? Are we going too fast?
No, I think we're there.
I guess we kind of mentioned the bathroom scene earlier.
Oh, true.
That was kind of one thing I wanted to mention is like, you know, Sam is like basically gives the heartfelt thing about like how much he loves his dad and looks up to him and how, as he's getting older, he's like glad he's kind of turning into his dad. And he's saying like, you know, I wish I could find a way to say that. And then his dad is in the bathroom and overhears, and he comes out and says like, that was a great speech. And you're like, oh, it's so sweet that his dad loves that he said that about him. And then the only thing his dad says is that like, I could hear you all the way from the back of the room. Like you spoke so loudly, like, and clearly. And so it's like a great sort of riff on, again, his dad only cares about like how you deliver the speech and not the content. But it still made him very proud of Sam, which is like funny and a good little subversion.
Then many of our listeners might not know the movie Spartacus, which I think won a ton of awards, where they're trying to figure out the ancient Roman slave who led the revolt. And all of the slaves say they're Spartacus, which is much like the scene where Sam and Tim both take credit for the smell in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yep.
I stunk it up in here with a poop. He did flush.
You're also smelling my crap.
He flushed five times, but there was so much poop it got stuck in the pipe, according to Sam.
According to Sam.
it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Just a very nice writing thing. When Mr. Bones starts his speech, it's like the most serious one.
Yep.
Andrew Carnegie once said, I pay less attention to what a man says and more for what they do. And Tim just goes, classic, when he falls off stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that last scene is amazing because you really don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know.
And in your face, pie lady.
Yeah. The wink at Tim before he stumbles over is also great because it's like great that he like acknowledges, and so we all know that he like really was purposely hamming it up for Tim. And then two, it's like very obvious that he winks at someone before he does this. <I'm> like Yeah.
Oh man,
Do we have? Why was he taken away on a stretcher? Was it all part of the bit?
I mean, I think he falls pretty violently into that.
Into the pie table?
As a guy who falls into pie tables a lot,
I feel like a clown could take a fall like that pretty well.
Oh, that's a good counterpoint.
I was thinking maybe it was just cover for him, so that everybody Tim thinks that he actually injured himself.
Yeah, it could be cover.
All right. Yeah.
We have a tough discussion.
We should get Mr. Bones on here to talk about that.
Yeah.
We have to talk about MVP of this episode. I'm going to make a nomination.
Okay, let's hear it.
I feel like it's going to be controversial, but I'm going to nominate Mr. Bones. And I could be outvoted. While you guys think about it, I believe Mr. Bones was maybe played by a non-actor. The IMDb doesn't have roles as far as I can tell, and I'm thinking it could be someone named Renardo Pringle. Not totally sure. What's funny is I believe there's a Renardo Pringle Jr. who is an active actor, presumably his son. But it's kind of hard to parse through the characters for this episode. So just interesting fact that it was, the show casts a lot of people who don't have a lot of credits, much like I Think You Should Leave. And he really does a great job, whoever played him. So,
I will say, so I had trouble deciding MVP. Mr. Bones is one of them. Molly, the ex-girlfriend, was another one.
Very good.
And I feel like both of those were also sort of purposely trying to not give it to Sam, because how can you just keep giving him and Tim MVPs every episode? Yeah. But Sam really did a great job of kind of carrying the main storyline, but in the interest of mixing it up a little bit, I think I probably will go with Mr. Bones also. I think he kind of gets the climax and gets a good sort of through line the whole episode, but I could be persuaded if Jared's got
I'd probably go Molly if it was but it's not a strong no-brainer fight to the death.
I would feel comfortable with co-MVPs, to be honest, between those two.
I feel like I could do that. Let's do that. We're doing that. They're both excellent. I like Mr. Bones too.
And just some sort of shout outs. I thought obviously Oba Babatunde as Mr. Duvet was really good. And who do we mention?
David
was really good.
The little kid.
Isaac Ryan Brown is the little kid.
The little kid's really good.
And then also, I thought this was a really good Shantae Delon episode.
Oh, yeah. She was really good.
Time out. Was that little kid, was he the young, what was that? There was a young comedian show. Was it Chris Rock? Did he play young Chris Rock or something? Or young Dave Chappelle? But
it wasn't him.
It looks just like him, doesn't it?
A little bit. I know his big credit is he was on 28 episodes of Blackish. So yeah, I think he's has a very active career. It also looks like he may have made a song with Raven Simone, if that is even possible.
Wow.
I mean, he has
a good voice. We heard him in the episode.
That's true. I don't even know how to parse that out, but because she was young and now is not, I don't think he was the. I think the show you're thinking of, Jared, is
Everybody Hates Chris,
and sure. I think that was a different actor.
Oh, I have one other note. I don't know, not to switch subject, but
no,
the mention of singing reminded me. At the end, when Sam decides to sing a rendition of that same song, I was reminded of the previous episode where they talk about putting some stank on it while singing. Yeah. And Sam is like, kind of seems like he's trying overly hard to put some stank on his delivery there, which I thought was like a kind of funny little callback.
He repeats lines to sell them.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to Tyler James Williams, who played Chris. He's in Abbott Elementary, and he's great.
Yeah, of course.
He's so much older now. It's like, when was that sitcom on? Yeah, it's totally him. Oh, yeah, totally. Man, he was like 12 in that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
We have to do best bit, which is, I think, a little bit trickier with an episode like this that sort of flows throughout. I mean, like, you know, I kind of want to say, like the Mr. Bones, but, like, it's more than a bit, almost. It's
plot line. You could maybe just say that the final scene of him with the, like, falling off the stage in pies is, like, a bit.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, also, maybe it's a crack.
It doesn't stand on its own.
Yeah. Crack.
My vote would be the exchange with the little kid.
Okay.
The Santa, okay, sunburn.
Yeah.
And then the Santa thing. And then Tim being, like, offended that he asked Santa for a huge hug and he gave it to him.
That's a great one. And I just realized I think my vote will be a different one, which is the exchange we talked about with Molly and the fiddling with your balls and the Molly being a terrible cop and the Tim kind of ribbing her about being a cop. And that would be mine.
I think I'm going to be non-committal and I'm going to go co-winners again. I like both of those. This type of episode is, it's like a little bit tricky to do our categories. I'm also going to throw out, I don't think there was a lot of embedded, I think you should leave. I do think Jared's suggestion could sort of be an I think you should leave sketch. His interaction with the young kid. I also think sort of the like projection, like heartfelt speech in the bathroom kind of feels like a, like a season two, I think you should leave. Maybe.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I could see that.
So I think we're wrapping up on episode 5. If people have final thoughts.
I have one final thought, which is I mentioned this already a couple times about Mr. Duvet's sort of like complete disregard for the content of speeches. And that I feel like the very last scene is him when everyone's singing happy birthday to him and he gives his like final speech to everyone. And he's like sort of presenting it as like a, you know, everyone has a birthday and whatever. And today is my birth. I'm happy because today is my birthday is how he ends it. And he literally says like nothing of any content in it other than like people have birthdays and today's my birthday and I'm happy.
That's true.
As like sort of his big speech to cap things off. And so, but he's speaking very loudly and clearly to like the entire room. And so to him, it's like a great speech. But it's just another sort of like example of that through line theme, which I thought was a funny cap to the end of it.
And I just want to throw out like a last note. A lot of like last episode and actually the next episode we're going to do, which is Third Floor, which I think is really funny too, are written by Sam, Zach Kanan, and Joe Kelly, who's the creator of Ted Lasso. So it's just kind of crazy. What the writing room on the show is, and Tim is not credited on either episode. I actually think Tim is not credited on a lot of these, and maybe it's because he was still writing for SNL. And I don't know. This is a question that we can investigate in there. But we are gonna shut this one down, and then we're actually gonna
record bonus episode,
another episode, which will drop like. Tomorrow. I mean, we'll drop this tomorrow and then that one tomorrow.
Tomorrow, like afternoon.
Right. Signing off. That's a Chunky. That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks Diner, featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayze has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Nights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.